In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the All-Merciful, I tell my tale. For there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Know then that this is a tale of Baghdad, the heavenly city, the jewel of Arabia, and that this was in the time of Harun al-Rashid, King of Kings, Prince of the Faithful. There was no court that was like to Harun al-Rashid's. He had gathered to him all manner of great men from all corners of the world. There were sages and wise men, and alchemists, geographers and geomancers, mathematicians and astronomers, translators and archivists, jurists, grammarians, cadis and scribes. In his court were the greatest teacher of the Hebrews, who were the first of the three people of the book, and the greatest monks of the pale Christians, a dirty folk who will not bathe and who venerate the dried dung of their leader, whom they call the Pope. And as you must realize, he had with him the greatest scholars of the Quran, the word of Allah, as revealed to his prophet Muhammad 180 years before. Thus, his palace was the palace of wisdom. There were women in his harem, concubines from every land, infidel and faithful, with skins white as the desert sand, skins brown as the mountains seen at evening, skins black as obsidian. Thus, his palace was the palace of pleasure. There were magicians in his palace, astrologers, who could interpret the will of Allah from the high dances of the distant stars. Enchanters from China and the Mongol lands, with high fur hats and long sleeves full of secrets. Ascetic Bedouin sorcerers who knew the secrets of angels and of jinn and of men. And there were strange prodigies in that place. Men with the heads of animals, and animals that spoke like men, and marvelous mechanical wonders that counterfeited life, and sang or moved when they were spoken to. And there were poets and musicians, and men of high wit and perfect taste. Thus, his palace was the palace of wonders, for those were the days of wonders. And Harun al-Rashid was a wise king. When he sat in judgment, even his sages were astonished at the sagacity of his verdicts. Under him, the city prospered, and the whole of Arabia flowered and blossomed. But Harun al-Rashid was troubled in his soul.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 21, Ramadan.
These times, when the darkness would descend on his brow, he would go out of a night into the city of Baghdad, taking with him only his friend and vizier Jafar and Masrur, his executioner. And, dressed as merchants from a far-off land, they would travel through the city, sampling its delights, tasting its wares, ennobling the virtuous, and entertaining and casting down the wicked and the dull. And in this way, they encountered stories stranger than any hitherto told, even in the marketplace of Baghdad. It was then that Harun al-Rashid raised a poor beggar to the caliphate for a day of dreams. And then, that the great king witnessed the death of the hunchback and wondered at the seven strangers who admitted his murder, though the poor fool had but choked on a fishbone. And it was in Baghdad, city of cities, city above cities, that the king and his vizier witnessed the only flight of the winged horse, made all of glass but for its eyes, which were bone. But still, the king was troubled. And one day, Allah so willed it that it came to pass that the defender of the faithful stood on a balcony high above the city at midday. And it was given to him to see all the city spread out below him like a tapestry. He saw carpets fluttering in the skies, and the markets filled with sweet stuffs and rare spices, and cunningly crafted jeweled birds that sang more sweetly than any bird that hatched from an egg. He saw a caravan crossing the desert into his city, camels laden with silks and costly perfumes, diamonds and rubies as large as a man's fist, and coal-eyed dancing girls, their faces veiled and their feet hennaed. He saw sailboats making their way into harbor, laden with grain and pomegranates. He saw the bathhouses and the tapering spires of the mosques, heard the muezzin call the faithful to prayer. He saw the craftsmen and the porters and the merchants. He saw the warriors and the city guards and strangers from all nations who had come to Baghdad, the jewel of cities, incomparable. All this he saw, but his heart was troubled within him. It was Ramadan, the most holy of months, for it was in Ramadan that the angel Gabriel first gave the word of Allah, the one, the only God, to the Prophet. His wife Zubaydah came to him.
My husband and my king.
Yes, lady.
I see you are troubled.
You see correctly.
Come with me. Let me anoint your forehead with warm oil and stroke you with my soft hands. I can make you forget your troubles between my breasts. I can smooth away the darkness in your soul between my thighs.
I thank you, my lady, my queen, but I must decline.
And she left him then. His vizier, his friend, Jafar the Barmakid, came to him.
Come, let us disguise ourselves and walk the city. Soon we will undoubtedly encounter a young noble under some enchantment, or three women slim as gazelles imprisoned in a house builded all of white jade, or a wandering madman with a tale to tell of desert ghouls and...
No.
Then let me call for wine and food and send for storytellers. And let us proclaim that he who has the strangest true story to tell will...
It is Ramadan, Jafar, when we fast from sunrise to sunset, and the Prophet has spoken against wine.
But...
No, old friend. Look at our city. Is it not wonderful? Will there ever be another like it?
If Allah wills it...
But the will of Allah is not meant for man to know. Leave me.
He stood there until dusk fell, and the first star of evening glittered over the spires of the city. Then there came to him Ishaq, the greatest poet of that age, he who could spin words like silk inlaid with thread of gold.
Great king!
Greetings, word spinner.
My king, you are troubled. Can I play for you or sing?
No, There is a weight on my chest and on my brow, but art and pretty words will not lift it. Ay me, has there ever been a city like my city? Or people like my people?
No, great king. Ambassadors come here from the ends of the earth to see this miracle, and they return to their kings, saying, "We have seen the perfect city. There can be none like it." And their kings are then dissatisfied with their own small fiefs and domains, for they know that never can they compare to Baghdad, the jewel of cities.
This is so, but all things pass. Leave me, I need no poets.
And he stood there on that balcony and gazed down on the greatest city on the earth. It was then that the king took a golden key from around his neck and descended into the depths of his palace. He passed through the place of women, where no man save he could go and retain his manhood. He passed down further through the place of justice and torture, where those who waited on the king's mercy sat in durance. He passed still below, past the oubliettes, where those whom the king's mercy had forgotten waited in vain, their faces pale, their beards white, their eyes desperate and mad. After some time, he came to a door. Huge it was, of black iron, and carved on its face were many symbols and patternings. And he opened it with the key of gold. And he went down. Now the steps were narrow and damp, and the air swam with half-seen figures and faces. And the king thought he heard the voices of those he had loved and had killed over the years. The pale girl from the Northland with hair like spun silver. The boy from the desert who had brought him a rose carved from palest, pinkest quartz and had stayed in the palace for a year and a day. The captain of the palace guard who, save for only the king, was the finest bowman and swordsman and spear in the city, but who had, perhaps, coveted the throne. Voices he heard, but he paid them no mind. Harun al-Rashid came to the door of bronze, banded with green copper, an inset with mother of pearl. And he opened it with a key of gold. And he went down.
5 paces forward.
He threaded his way through the labyrinth then.
3 to the right.
Eyes hard closed.
Stoop low for 8.
Counting steps and half steps, lefts and rights in his head.
Climb to the ledge. Walk another 9. And here is the wooden door.
The next door was of wood, unornamented, and this too he opened with the key of gold. Torches flared and blazed as he entered, casting a flickering radiance over all. He looked neither left nor right. Diamonds and rubies, emeralds and sapphires, amethysts and pearls were piled in promiscuous heaps, uncounted, perhaps uncountable. There was a room hung high with enchanted swords. Another filled with lamps and rings and goblets of strange virtue and power.
Another that contained naught but eggs of all shapes and sizes, from a vermilion egg as big as a child's smallest fingernail to an egg larger than a man, the egg of the rook, the bird that nests on mountaintops and carries off bull elephants to feed to its young. And there was also in that room the other egg of the phoenix. For the phoenix, when its time comes to die, lays two eggs, one black, one white. From the white egg hatches the phoenix bird itself, when its time is come. But what hatches from the black egg, no man knows. Harun al-Rashid passed through these rooms, and his gaze did not flicker, neither to one side nor the other. It seemed to him that he had been walking for many miles in the silence beneath the palace when he came to one last door. And this door was a door of fire. And this door, too, he opened with the golden key. There was nothing in this room but a glass ball resting on a satin pillow. Inside the ball, colored mists swirled and drifted. Set into the glass was a seal. Harun al-Rashid took the ball and he left that place. He carried it with care, and his breath was shallow and rapid. There were paths through the palace that none but Harun al-Rashid knew. And this was because those who had drawn up the plans and those who had built the paths had all long since gone to their final reward. For it is seldom healthy to know the secrets of a king. Up steps and up steps he went, forever darting glances to the globe in his hands. He touched one brick lightly, though it looked like every other, and the wall swung aside. And Harun al-Rashid stepped gently onto the highest rooftop of his palace. Imagine. 1,000,000 fireflies of every shape and color. Ah, that was Baghdad at night in those days. And ships still plied the river with lanterns on their masts. And the night sounds of the city rose up into a sky hung with stars and blazing fireballs. And softly, softly, the king began to speak.
I am the Caliph of Baghdad. As one king to another, I call you King of Dreams, Lord of the Sleeping. Are you there? I demand that you present yourself before me here in a form neither threatening nor unpleasant to mine eyes. Come, O King. I am Harun ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas, called al-Rashid, first among the faithful. Mine is the glory and the city of Baghdad, pearl of cities. I summon you, O King of Dreams, Prince of Stories, Lord of the Sleeping Marches. Be here for me.
There was no sound save the whisper of the wind and the deep, lost call of a night bird in the desert. Harun al-Rashid shivered.
Very well. In my hands, I hold the globe of Sulaiman bin Dawood, king of the Hebrews. It was in this globe, near the end of his life, that he imprisoned 9,009 ifrits, jinn, and demons. These were the darkest of spirits, the greatest and most powerful. And one by one, he bound them in this crystal globe and sealed it with his seal. That was nearly 2,000 years ago. Over the years that these ifrits, Their hearts blacker than jet have been imprisoned. They each have sworn a mighty oath to wreak vengeance on the children of Adam, our father, to destroy our work and our minds and our dreams. This is a globe of finest glass, and when it shatters, they shall emerge as ravening beasts of destruction. If you do not come to me, I shall shatter the globe. Very well.
You have called me, and I have come.
Are you then the Lord of Sleep? The Prince of Stories? He to whom Allah has given dominion over that which is not, and was not, and shall never be?
You know who you have called, Rashid.
Wine! Wine for our visitor!
This month is Ramadan, O King, when the faithful fast from dawn until sunset, and has not the Prophet spoken against wine?
And are you of the faith?
I am of all faiths in my fashion, Harun al-Rashid, and I have no wish to take wine with you. Now, perhaps you should tell me why I should not leave this place, taking with me your ball of little nuisances, and also, I might add, taking the recollection of being summoned peremptorily as one might summon a steward. I am no steward, O King, and I mislike summonings.
There is a tale they tell of a fisherman who caught a jade bottle in his nets, who opened the bottle and released a genie.
In the tale, he talked the genie back into the bottle, but the genie was foolish and boastful and lonely. I am none of these things. You have called me here, Harun. It is unwise to summon that which you cannot dismiss.
You are threatening me?
I do not threaten. I merely advise caution.
Aye. Your point is well taken. Why have I called you here? I have called you here, I suppose, to make a bargain. If you will, bargain with me.
We are bargaining in the palace of the leader of the faithful. Bargains are the business of the souk, the marketplace.
Why? Perhaps they are at that. Very well. Let us then take ourselves to the marketplace. In my sleeping quarters is a casket that was my father's and his father's before him. Bring it to me.
They brought to him a casket of sandalwood, inlaid with strange designs, both of ivory and mother of pearl, and they laid it on the ground before him. The king opened the casket with his own hands, and from it he took a small carpet, threadbare in appearance and unimpressive, and with his own hands he spread it upon the ground. He stepped onto it, carefully, even reverently, although it was not a prayer carpet, and motioned the Lord of Dreams to take his place beside him. Harun al-Rashid said one word three times, and on the third repetition, the carpet rose into the air, glittering faintly.
Look at my city, Dream Lord.
I see it.
It is a city of marvels, of wonders. These are the days of wonders. It is my city. I am responsible for it. Ah, the souk. Descend on my carpet. Let us attend to the business of the marketplace.
And the carpet descended into the center of the souk. But no one marked its arrival or its passengers. They were too occupied by the wonders of the marketplace, with its merchants selling fruits, sweetmeats, jewels, precious stones and spices. Great wild birds and animals were chained up all around to be gazed upon. And everywhere people were haggling, buying and selling. In the center of the souk was a huge fountain, ornamented with statuary and marble. It is here that Harun al-Rashid and the Lord of Dreams step off the carpet.
Now, carpet, you wait high above the souk, my carpet. I shall call you if I have need of you. Come, let us...
Great lords, can I interest you in buying sweetmeats?
Keep walking.
You shall not taste their like again, for I, Hassan the sweetmaker, make them myself with spices and honeys and fine wines from a recipe divulged to me by a merchant.
Lords, I have a slave here for sale of the most exotic kind. Firstly, examine her skin. Is
noble it noble lords, do not listen to him. He is a thief and a liar and a magician to boot. A month ago, he sold me an ass. The son of a she-dog, who would sell you the city of Baghdad and your wife's mother and sell you your left hand were you to give him an opportunity, came to my house and told me that the ass he had sold me was in fact a beautiful maiden who had been ensorcelled by her...
Will you buy some fine fruit, noble sir?
I'll give you a dirham for these miserable grapes.
One dirham for these grapes? Each perfect globe so fine that were it made into wine, it would only be suitable for our caliph himself, Harun al-Rashid, whom Allah protect and enlighten. 3 dirhams and nothing less.
2.
Certainly, Lord. You are most generous. And here, take 2 of these fine plums with my compliments. There is, as it happens, a tale that accompanies these plums.
I am sure there is, and I thank you for it. But for now, I have certain matters to attend to. A grape, Dream King.
In Ramadan, between dawn and dusk.
It is no matter. Look around you, Dream King. What do you see?
I see a remarkable place.
Indeed. It is a land of miracles. Will you buy it from me?
I have no desire to be king of any mortal land.
No, you misunderstand me. This is the greatest city that Allah, may he be praised from the rising of the sun in the morning until the setting of the sun in the evening, and also in the nighttime and in the hours before dawn, has seen fit with which to bless the world. And this age is the perfect age.
So?
How long can it last? How long will people remember? I have seen the world, Dream King. I have ridden through the deserts and seen the rocks and old walls and statues breathed up by the desert wind in the empty wastes of sand. And then the wind and the sand comes up once more and the remnants of the cities and palaces and gods vanish for another age of men, forgotten and unremembered. This is as good as it's going to be, isn't it?
It may be so.
But Allah alone knows all. Indeed, I am Harun ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas, Khalif of Baghdad. I propose to give you this city, my city. I submit that you purchase it from me. Take it into dreams.
And in exchange?
In exchange, I want it never to die. To live forever. Can you do this thing?
After a fashion, I can.
And what needs to happen to make it so? Is there some spell you must perform? Is there a quest I must go on to some far country? Is there some grand deed?
No. All you need do is tell your people. They follow you, after all. And yours is the dream.
Very well. Hear me, my people. I, your caliph, Harun al-Rashid, of the Hashimi bloodline, proclaim on this day, in this place, that I have given the golden age of Baghdad, of Arabi, to this one who stands by my side. It is his forever, providing that, as long as mankind lasts, our world is not forgotten.
And as he spake, the carpet flying high above fell, its enchantment gone, and it fell upon the earth beneath. Where once marble flagstones marked out the square in which stood the great souk, there was now dusty earth. The great buildings and minarets around it were blunt gray towers of mud brick and sandstone. The fountain was long dry. The houses drab. The silk-draped merchants' tables were trestles under coarsely woven cloth. And Harun al-Rashid, clad in very ordinary robes, found himself alone.
Great Caliph, Masrur, High Executioner.
Great King, you were gone from the palace. We have been looking for you. What happened? Why did you come here, to the marketplace?
I do not know, Masrur. I had a dream, I think, but already it is fading.
Heatstroke, perhaps, sire? It can do many strange things to a man.
Perhaps.
Let us return to the palace, Lord.
Indeed.
They walked towards the palace, and as they walked, the Caliph saw the Lord of Dreams watching them, carrying a large glass bottle in both his hands. And within the bottle was something which glistened and was full of colors.
Hold, stranger! What is that you carry?
It's a city in a bottle.
And as he grew near, Harun looked inside the bottle, and within it he could see perfect and tiny, full of fine marble buildings and high minarets, a beautiful city.
Most ingenious of devising and execution. Did you construct it? Is it for sale?
I did not construct it. It was given to me, and it is no longer for sale.
It is very beautiful.
Yes.
Sire, let us return to the palace.
Yes, Masrur. It is like a city I once dreamed of.
And that is how they say that it occurred. But Alilo knows all.
But what happened to Harun al-Rashid? Or to the old city of Baghdad? Or to...
Hold, little one! Do you have another coin?
No.
Any more cigarettes?
No.
Then I think I have spoken enough for today. If you are here tomorrow, then perhaps I will tell you more. I go home, boy. These are bad times, and your mother will be worrying.
But how did it work? The bargain? How could the city last forever?
Go home.
Oh.
His question unanswered, Hassan stumbles homeward, picking his way in a series of child shortcuts across the bomb sites and the rubble of Baghdad. And, though his stomach hurts, for fasting is easy this Ramadan and food is hard to come by, his head is held high and his eyes are bright, and behind his eyes are towers and jewels and jinn, carpets and rings and wild afreets, kings and princes and cities of brass. And he prays as he walks, cursing his one weak leg all the while, prays to Allah who made all things, that somewhere in the darkness of dreams abides the other Baghdad that can never die, and the other egg of the phoenix. But Allah alone knows all.
listening to The Sandman, Act 2, an Audible original, produced in association with DC, from the DC Comics publications written by Neil Gaiman. Dramatized and directed for audio by Dirk Maggs. Based on characters created by Neil Gaiman, Sam Keith, and Mike Dringenberg. Narrated by Neil Gaiman. Episode 1, Season of Mists, Prologue. Starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Kat Dennings as Death, Miriam Margulies as Despair, Kristen Schaal as Delirium, Jeffrey Wright as Destiny, Justin Vivian Bond as Desire, Sandra Dickinson, Ellen Thomas, and Kathy Tyson as the Hecate. Episode 2, Season of Mists, Chapter 1. Starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Matthew Horn as Hob Gadling, Patterson Joseph as Corinzen, Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven, Michael Sheen as Lucifer, and Kevin Smith as Merv Pumpkinhead. And featured Karen Barkey as Fashion Thing, Mazikeen and Queen Elizabeth I, Narissa Bradley as Carla, Michael Kuhl as Alakino, Doug Devaney as Father, Laura Lefko as Lyta, Amaka Okafor as Nada, Ray Porter as Beelzebub and Squatterbloat, Michael Roberts as Cain, Kerry Shale as Abel, Simon Vance as Lucian, and Rebecca Yeo as Tracy. Episode 3, Season of Mists, Chapter 2, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus and Michael Sheen as Lucifer. Also starred Nicholas Bolton as Breschow, and featured Karen Bartke as Mazikeen and Rimmon, and Jason Forbes as Katili. Episode 4, Season of Mists, Chapter 3, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Kat Dennings as Death, Patterson Joseph as Corinzen, Adrian Lester as Remiel, Bill Nighy as Odin, David Tennant as Loki, Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven, and Michael Sheen as Lucifer, with Mitch Benn as Thor, Amaka Okafor as Nada, Ray Porter as the Griffin, Kerry Shale as Azazel, and Simon Vance as Lucian, and featured Karen Bartke as Sigyn and the White Voice, Doug Devaney as Anubis and Chaos One, Don Gillet as Genie of the Box, Sandra May Lux as Eve, Michael Roberts as Kane and Grey Voice, Dai Tabuchi as Susano, and Lizzie Waterworth Santo as Jemmy and Chaos Two. Episode 5, Season of Mists, Chapter 4. Starred Kat Dennings as Death. Also starred Louise Jameson as Mother, David Shaw Parker as Parkinson, David Timpson as Headmaster, with Mac Keith Roach as Charles Rowland, and Harry Tuffin as Edwin Payne, and featured Karen Bartke as Matron, Harriet Carmichael as Hinchcliffe, Ben Deary as The Gardener, Claire Morgan as Cheeseman, Joanna Ruiz as Skinner and Mold, and Lizzie Waterworth Santo as Barrow. Episode 6, Season of Mists, Chapter 5. Starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Patterson Joseph as Corinzen, B.B. Newirth as Bast, Bill Nighy as Odin, Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven, David Tennant as Loki, Aidan Turner as Cluricon, and Niamh Walsh as Nula, with Kerry Shale as Azazel, Amaka Okafor as Nada, Ray Porter as Griffin, Michael Roberts as Cain and Bez, and Harry Myers as Gregory, and featured Karen Bartke as Dreamer Woman, Claire Corbett as the Merkin, Don Gillet as Genie of the Box, Teo Maggs as Dreamer Man, Dai Tabuchi as Susano, and Lizzie Waterworth Santo as Jemmy. Episode 7, Season of Mists, Chapter 6, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Patterson Joseph as Corinzen, Adrian Lester as Remiel, B.B. Newirth as Bast, Bill Nighy as Odin, Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven, David Tennant as Loki, Aidan Turner as Cluricon, Niamh Walsh as Nula, Mitch Benn as Thor, and Kerry Shale as Azazel. and featured Claire Corbett as the Merkin, Doug Devaney as Anubis and Faceless Man, Jason Forbes as African Morpheus, Don Gillet as Genie of the Box and Wizard, Amaka Okafor as Nada, Michael Roberts as Bez, Dai Tabuchi as Susano, and Lizzie Waterworth Santo as Jemmy. Episode 8, Season of Mists, Epilogue, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Barry Humphreys as the Australian, Adrian Lester as Remiel, Michael Sheen as Lucifer, David Tennant as Loki, Aidan Turner as Cluricon, Jeffrey Wright as Destiny, and Niamh Walsh as Nula, with Amaka Okafor as Nada and Ray Porter as Gilbert. And featured Yenis Chung as the Chinese Midwife 2, Ben Deary as Duma and the Male Victim, Jason Forbes as African Morpheus, Quana Luo Masterson as the Chinese Midwife 1, David Shaw Parker as the Demon, Dai Tabuchi as Susano, and Rebecca Yeo as the Chinese Mother. Episode 9, Fables and Reflections, Distant Mirrors, Thermidor, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus, Joanna Lumley as Lady Johanna Constantine, Reggae Jean Page as Orpheus. Also starred Arthur Darville as Thomas Paine and William Shakespeare, Don Gillet as Saint-Just, and Graham Hoadley as Robespierre, and featured Tom Alexander as Henri, Sans-Culotte Thug, and the Soldier, Karen Bartke as Jessamy the Raven, Ben Deary as the Guard, Rusticello, the Thug, and the Driver, and Kieran Sayward as the Captain, the Coachman, and the Puppeteer. Episode 10, Fables and Reflections, Distant Mirrors, August, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus and Brian Cox as Augustus. Also starred Sean Phillips as Livia and John Furlong as Lysias, with Nicholas Bolton as Julius Caesar, and featured Tom Alexander as the Soldier, the ship's captain, and Aristaeus the Raven, Karen Bartke as young Augustus, the woman, and the vegetable lady, Ben Deary as Lucius Tilius Kimber and the merchant, Don Gillet as the pottery man, Teo Maggs as Casca and the fishmonger, and Kieran Sayward as the fruit man, the storyteller, and the sailor. Episode 11, Fables and Reflections, Distant Mirrors, Three Septembers and a January, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus and John Lithgow as Joshua Norton, Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico. Also starred Kat Dennings as Death, Miriam Margulies as Despair, Kristen Schaal as Delirium, Justin Vivian Bond as Desire, Ray Porter as the King of Pain, Mac McDonald as Abe Warner, and Shay Matheson as Mark Twain, and featured Tom Alexander as the Lout, Karen Bartke as the Parrot, Barbara Barnes as the Landlady, Doug Devaney as Fitch and the Lout, Don Gillet as the Tourist, and Derek Seo as Ahau. Episode 12, A Game of You, Chapter 1, Slaughter on Fifth Avenue, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus, Emma Corrin as Thessaly, Kevin McNally as Wilkinson, and Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven. Also starred Laurence Bouvard as Barbie, Joe Pasquale as Prinado, Anna Demetriou as Hazel, Reese Lyons as Wanda, Jessica Martin as Luz, Julie Rogers as Foxglove, and Ray Porter as Martin Tenbones. And featured Lachelle Carl as Maisie Hill, Doug Devaney as the SWAT boss, Joe Dooley as George, Cop 2 and the Gawping Man, Jason Forbes as Cop 1, the Marksman and the Yuppie Man, Don Gillet as the Sergeant and the Train Announcer, Sandra May Lux as the Yuppie Woman, Alan Marriott as the Cop and the Subway Announcer, and Rebecca Yeo as the Waitress. Episode 13, A Game of You, Chapter 2, Lullabies of Broadway, starred Emma Corrin as Thessaly, Kevin McNally as Wilkinson, and Niamh Walsh as Nula. Also starred Laurence Bouvard as Barbie, Joe Pasquale as Prenado, Anna Demetriou as Hazel, Rhys Lyons as Wanda, Jessica Martin as Luce, and Julie Rogers as Foxglove, and featured Tom Alexander as Ken, Annette Badland as the Weather Woman, Samantha Bayar as Judy Talbot, Joe Dooley as George and Weirdzo Orderly 2, Jason Forbes as the chat show host, Don Gillet as the ticket inspector and Weirdzo number 1, Sandra Mae Lux as Weirdzo Lila, saleswoman, and Boy 2, Alan Marriott as Weirdzo Man, Weirdzo Orderly 1, and the news anchor, and Rebecca Yeo as Boy 3 and Weirdzo Woman. Episode 14, A Game of You, Chapter 3, Bad Moon Rising, starred Emma Corrin as Thessaly and Kevin McNally as Wilkinson. Also starred Laurence Bouvard as Barbie, Joe Pasquale as Pernado, Anna Demetriou as Hazel, Rhys Lyons as Wanda, Jessica Martin as Luce, Julie Rogers as Foxglove, and Sandra Dickinson, Ellen Thomas, and Kathy Tyson as the Hecate, and featured Lachelle Carl as Maisie Hill, and Joe Dooley as George. Episode 15, A Game of You, Chapter 4, Beginning to See the Light, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus, Kevin McNally as Wilkinson. Also starred Laurence Bouvard as Barbie, Joe Pasquale as Pernado, Anna Demetriou as Hazel, Rhys Lyons as Wanda, Jessica Martin as Luce, Julie Rogers as Foxglove, Simon Vance as Lucian, and Ray Porter as Martin Tenbones, and featured Annette Badland as the Baby Dinosaur, Doug Devaney as the Tantoblin, Joe Dooley as George, Jason Forbes as Tweener 1, Don Gillet as Tweener 2, Alan Marriott as Tweener 3, and Rebecca Yeo as Baby Dinosaur 2. Episode 16, A Game of You, Chapter 5, Over the Sea to Sky, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus, Emma Corrin as Thessaly, and Kevin McNally as Wilkinson. Also starred Laurence Bouvard as Barbie, Joe Pasquale as Pernado, Anna Demetriou as Hazel, Rhys Lyons as Wanda, Jessica Martin as Luce, Sarah Pittard as the Cuckoo, Julie Rogers as Foxglove, and Al Roker as the Passerby, and featured Lachelle Carl as Maisie Hill, Mike Carlin as Jerry, Charlie Dooley as Eleonora, Joe Dooley as George, Christian Haloub as Jim Morrison, not the famous one, Sandy Resnick as Bill, and Rebecca Yeo as Barbara Wong. Episode 17, A Game of You, Chapter 6, I Woke Up and One of Us Was Crying, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus, Emma Corrin as Thessaly, Kat Dennings as Death. Also starred Laurence Bouvard as Barbie, Joe Pasquale as Pernado, Anna Demetriou as Hazel, Rhys Lyons as Wanda, Jessica Martin as Luce, Sarah Pittard as the Cuckoo, Julie Rogers as Foxglove, Lorelei King as Dora, and Annette Badland as Mrs. Man, and featured Doug Devaney as Mr. Man, Trucker 1, Paramedic 2, and the Male Passenger, Joe Dooley as Paramedic 1, Jason Forbes as the Preacher, Teo Maggs as Trucker 2, Sandra Mae Lux as Mary Gentian, Alan Marriott as the Shopkeeper, and Lydia Parker as Jenny Sue. Episode 18, Convergence, The Hunt, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Philip Bulcock as Vasily, John Chancer as Grandfather, Ashley Haddad as the Granddaughter, and Simon Vance as Lucian. And featured Tom Alexander as the Raven, David Holt as Baba Yaga, Jessica Martin as Peddler Woman and Ash, and Richard Reed as the Innkeeper. Episode 19, Convergence, Soft Places, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus and Ray Porter as Gilbert. Also starred Ben Deary as Rusticello and Sam Stafford as Marco Polo. And featured Barbara Barnes as the Whisper, Karen Bartke as Mother, Doug Devaney as Niccolo, and Don Gillet as the Nubian Rider. Episode 20, Convergence, The Parliament of Rooks, starred James McAvoy as Lil Dream, Kat Dennings as Lil Death, Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven. Also starred Laura Lefko as Lyta, Harry Myers as Gregory and Lil Wyvern, Michael Roberts as Kane, Kerry Shale as Abel, and Ray Porter as the Little Griffin, and featured Tom Alexander as Little Hippogriff, Karen Bartke as Goldie, Narissa Bradley as Carla and the Woman, Sandra May Lux as Eve and Daniel. Episode 21, Distant Mirrors, Ramadan, starred James McAvoy as Morpheus. Also starred Nizar Aldarazi as Harun, Joe Accarelli as Merchant One, Philip Arditi as Jafar and Merchant Two, Ragad Char as Zubaydah, Bestabe Emran as The Boy, Pej Mann as Ishak, and Hemi Yerohem as The Old Man. The announcer was Tom Alexander. Sound supervisor and principal recording engineer, Rowan Henrit. Recording engineers, Wilfredo Acosta, Kyle Gaffney, Rodrigo Galvan, Morten Gamst, Liam King, Claire Marquess, Rowan Henrit, Jerry O'Riordan, Shane O'Byrne, Nick Sjostrom, Zoltan Sindhu, Wouter van Herwerden, and Alex Williams. Script and studio assistant, Tolly Maggs. Dialogue editors Samuel Gunn and Ben Ottridge. Sound designers Wilfredo Acosta, Kirsty Gilmore, Richard House, Tom Maggs, and John Scott. Production coordinators Eleanor Mine and Anna Lee. Production manager Marielle Runniker-Temple. GLAAD consultant Nick Adams. Casting by Marielle Runniker-Temple, Nicola Wall, Dan Hubbard CSA, and Rory Oki. Additional casting by David Beck, Alex Curran, and Jada Uzun. Original music composed by James Hannigan. Production executive Haley Nathan. Commissioning editor Lydia Sharma. Creative director Neil Gaiman. Adapted and directed by Dirk Maggs. Co-executive producers Neil Gaiman and Dirk Maggs. Sound recording copyright 2021 by DC Comics and Audible Originals Limited. The Sandman and all related characters are copyrights and trademarks of DC Comics.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.